for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over 50 years of playing PlayStation and, like, I don't know, 15 plus years in that game's been combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us this PlayStation very conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. That's a bald-faced lie for, like, the next couple of weeks. Just
absolutely. Yeah.
If you want to check out when we are going live, our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X, all of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, you should head over to twitch.tv/popculture whenever day we do it, where you can watch us record the show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Yeah, we lied. Yeah, and like the scheduling's going to be all fucked. Just a friendly reminder, shows will be going up Tuesday, recording live on Mondays, probably for the rest of the month. Next week should be fine. But every other weekend's going to be a bit bum. December should be okay, I think. Wait and see. Damn my fucking wrestling, man.
There's lots of birthdays in December, man.
Oh my god. So, like, I shit you not, I got a picture from my wife, like my kid's mum, with like 7 fucking birthday invites. He's got like 4 on the one weekend, and that's the weekend of his fucking birthday party, so that's 5. God damn it. God damn it.
And now no one's going to come to his because he hasn't sent out his invites yet. And
oh, no, his invites are out. Not, he's only heard back from one. So that is concerning. I always worry about that. Like, it's just that little part of my brain that makes me worry that, you know, no one will show up to my son's birthday party because the fear we all have, I guess. But thankfully, you know, the fact he's got like 7 invites tells me that he's pretty reasonably popular because, you know, the beauty of his little ASD brain, he don't give a flying fuck. He's like, hey, who are you? Let's be friends. That just makes friends all the time, all the place, everywhere. Good stuff. But how's your week been, Max? How's the things?
Yeah, week was all right. It was, Hadley had a primary school orientation this week.
Ooh,
last week.
Did that push your mortality?
A little bit.
Because my son's about to turn 8 and I'm feeling it and it's not good.
So she had a blast. So she's going to the local school here. But we got there a little bit earlier because she wanted to go and, you know, have a look at the place first. And as we got there, there were about 8 students with their arms hanging out the fence saying high fives for the new kids. And
that's
they were giving
nice.
Everyone a high five as they were walking. So Hadley went past like 3 times. She's like fucking loving it.
Yeah, so, like, give me all the high fives.
Give me all the high fives. And then she went in to do her thing and the lady running the orientation program was like, hey, just to let you know, we're doing a parents information thing. If you want to hang out, if you don't, it's fine. I'm like, cool. I've got nothing better to do. Mm. I'll go do this parent information thing. I'll go meet some of the people that are going to be in my kids' class. Oh my God. I thought the talky, clicky bitches from kinder were bad.
Mm.
The primary school clicky bitches may be worse.
How so?
Well, I was the only dude there for a start. Yep. Like, it was just, I was swimming in a sea of mum. Mm, it was really, really awkward. I'm sitting there with Ollie. Ollie's sitting in my lap going, I'm just trying to push out this mad poo because he'd been constipated that day. I'm like, dude, can you shut the fuck up?
I'm trying to make friends here. Can you not shit on me? Thank you.
And then it turns out it was the same information that they gave us at the information night previously. So that was fun.
Well, yeah. But, so like, I'm in a similar boat. Like, I don't. I don't know a lot of the parents of James's friends or in the classroom. Like, I went to a birthday party, yes, a little while ago, and that's what led, we talked about last week, led into me recording that podcast. But outside of that, I just kind of go there. If I have gone, I've just kind of sit off to the side because I'm aware that I'm a giant fucking weirdo and I can assure you none of them want to talk wrestling or video games because they're all functioning and adults. So,
and your kid's not quite old enough that you can be like, ah, I'll fucking sing in 2 hours.
That and knowing James may not handle that very well. So I was just like, okay. So I always just hang around. I'm always just close enough that he can see and chill and just sit on my phone and do whatever. It's not so bad. But yeah, so clearly Hadley's quite excited to start school.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. Well, I mean, she's got her next orientation day tomorrow. So she'll have 3 orientation days over 3 weeks. So she's going again tomorrow for another 1 hour session, which is cool. And then, so it was, you know, doing all the uniform nonsense, getting all that stuff. Nanny K rocked up and went, hey, what do you need? She bought her a school backpack, like a book bag, a hat, all this other stuff. Hadley had a cry because she was in greenhouse. She's like, I don't like green. I want to be in pink house. I'm like, well, there is no fucking pink house. So,
oh, why is there not a pink house?
And then me and Allie were trying to explain to her the greenhouse is awesome. I was in greenhouse. Allie was in greenhouse. And Hadley's just like, no, fuck, I'm on green. Green's shit. I'm like, okay, then.
What was I? I was yellow house in primary school. And then I was red in high school.
I was green, then gold.
Green, then gold. Yeah. Fucking Australia.
Fucking Australia.
Nice.
Yeah. Went down to Queenscliff yesterday. Had a bit of a picnic down at the park.
Yeah.
Paid an exorbitant amount for fucking fish and chips in the retirement village.
Oh, man. Those beachside towns, they know what they're up to. They know what's going on.
They're like, we have 3 servings of chips. You can have small for $8. You can have medium for $10, or you can have large for $12. And I'm like, well, obviously I'm going to get a fucking large, aren't I? Because I've got to feed my family.
Mm.
It's not enough.
Yeah, then their large is misleadingly not all that large. Because they're one of them fancy pants boutique fish and chip shops, apparently.
Yeah, and then because Ollie threw one of his chips on the ground, all the seagulls were like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Oh, we found the one.
Then Hadley's freaking out. She's like, oh, the bird's going to eat me. And I'm like, the birds are not going to eat you. They'll run away if you come near them.
Yeah. Like, you are not a chip, Hadley. You are fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was all right. How's your week been?
It was too bad. I turned 35 this week.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. I'm fucking old. Yeah, no, I turned 35 on Wednesday, which was lovely. Yeah, it was a pretty chill day. Didn't do a whole lot. Tuesday being Melbourne Cup day. So I just kind of did a whole bunch of nothing. That after working two wrestling shows the weekend before, I was just exhausted. Monday was work. Tuesday was just chilling, which was great, which allowed me to roll credits on Silent Hill, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, so Wednesday was my birthday, pretty chill. As I said, I Phoebe worked, James had school, I had work, so not much really went down. And then the evening, we got cheesecake, which is good. But yeah, I think I'm very much, like I have been for the last couple of years, I guess, but we're certainly at that age now where birthdays mean objectively less and less. So, oh, yeah, cool, 35. Sick. But I did kindly get some lovely, lovely presents. And I can show you some on the show right now. So I did receive this, Max. The Horizon Zero Dawn board game.
came to come and play.
Yeah, so this came from my son and my ex-wife. I have been wanting to play this for like God knows how long. I've had it in my Amazon, you know, wish list or whatever for literal years. And James was so excited for me to open it and see it, which was cool. He also got me a PlayStation pillow so that we can have on like the couch and stuff. What else did he get me? That maybe did, I think. But I do have some, I did get some of the minis out as well because the minis are pretty fantastic. Look at that. That's probably a bit too white because I haven't coated them or anything yet, but like they're really quite well detailed. There's a scrapper, there's your shell walker, like they're really incredibly well detailed, which makes me happy. And then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna fuck you up so good, I'm gonna paint you so bad, because they look to be resin, so they're solid, like they're clearly cast in one piece, which is kind of fun. But they're obviously the little ones are, you know, the walkers are quite tiny. I'm very intrigued to see what the Thunder Jaw looks like. It's going to be like just a wad. It'd be pretty sweet. The other thing that my partner Phoebe got me, so a year, probably a couple years ago, a year ago, easily before, certainly before I moved into this house, and way before we moved out of the old place, I got this nice poster of Kratos, and it kind of looks, it's supposed to look like an old parchment scroll, and I've had it for ages, but it's a really weird size, so I never got a frame for it. It's like, oh, it's one of those, I'll do it one day things. But unbeknownst to me, Phoebe snuck it off and got it framed, and it looks lovely. It's one of those frames, it's got the nice little border on it as well, but it's got like, it's like a cream, so it kind of matches the parchment feel, but there's got a black border within it, which kind of gives it this good depth of field, which then has the Kratos, which is also in black and white. It feels like it's kind of coming out of off the page a little bit. It's giving this nice depth of field. It's fantastic. I love it. I put a little video up on my Twitter about it, so check that out. But yeah, it looks great. Are you checking my Twitter now so you can understand what the hell I'm saying?
No.
Oh, damn.
No,
it's fine. But yeah, no, look, it's another birthday. Pretty chill. I ain't mad about it. I quite enjoyed it. Yeah. That's it. Like, it's one of the things, but yeah, not much really fucking happens. It's just birthdays, isn't it? But as I did mention, in terms of things that I did in my time off with Melbourne Cup Day, by games that we have been playing. So, thankfully, I say that in the nicest way, I have rolled credits on Silent Hill 2 Remake. It took fucking, thank you very much, it took so much longer than I wanted it to. Not because the game is like, the game is intense, obviously, but knowing that it should be shorter, because they have extended it for the Bennett for the remake. I probably spent the last like 6 hours, 7 hours being like, Jesus fucking Christ. Can this be done now? And we talked about in previous weeks when you're like, I'm here, and you've looked at the level list and gone, you've got like six little key thingies ahead of you. I'm like, some bitch. However, that criticism of its length aside, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, it looks fantastic. It's not brilliant, obviously. Like, there are moments where it looks a little poo, but there are moments where it looks fantastic. Like, I noticed movement, especially within cutscenes, is interesting. There's a lot of heavy motion blur, and it's more obvious because the game is playing within such a black and dark I don't know, level design, I guess. Because everything is so really, really dark, motion blur becomes really obvious. Especially, you know, in a dark room, he tries to pull a sheet off a jukebox or whatever, all you see is that, like, ghosting and that smear as he grabs it. And I'm playing on performance mode, so I'm playing with the larger frame rate. As neither you or I have a PS5 Pro at the moment, we can't test whether that gets better on the Pro. But, yeah, that's pretty fine. Sound design is exceptional. Just all the gooiness, the creepiness, the bings, bangs, the blinks, you know, the scraping of the Pyramid Head's big sword blade thing, and then mixed with the haptics within the controller, and you can really feel his presence as he like lumbers around you when you're those moments that you encounter with him. The characters are really interesting. Obviously, James Sunderland is a very intriguing individual. You sort of follow his journey throughout, as the game is sort of essentially a big analogy for his psyche. And then, you know, of course, Eddie and Angela and Maria, you know, and Laura, that's the name of the little girl. They all kind of bring something quite different and unique to the complete experience, which I really like. The other thing is just the game is fucking way too dark. Like, it literally, like, especially in those last scenes, like the prison and the labyrinth. Like, it's intentionally done to make it feel really claustrophobic, which that it does, but also then hurts my eyes because you've got this big TV, but you're focusing on, like, the light torch in the middle, and because it's at a distance, it's like, can't see shit, so you're squinting the whole time. That was balls. the game's great. So the ending that I, because there's multiple endings, the ending I got was apparently the most common ending, which is fine, because I think a lot of the variables that give you different endings are based kind of on unrecorded metrics. Like if you spend a little bit more time with Maria than you'd need to, like your ending will alter. Things like that.
Yeah, what are they called? In the escort quest portions, if you just run away from your person and they'll eventually catch up to you, that's a trigger as well.
Yep.
Or if you stay with them, there's talking to people at certain points. Even the first choice when you select a coin in the jukebox at the start, it can vastly affect which ending you get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But did you see someone, the photos that were added in the remaster?
Ah, yes, the little collectibles. Yes, it confirms a particular theory about the game.
Yeah, that's been deciphered.
Yeah, it's cool. Because I was trying to work out what it was as well. I thought it was sort of like collectible, like imagery. So here's a photo of something, we go find a collectible. But then I realized there were no real collectibles. I was like, oh, okay, cool. But yes, it does confirm a long-running theory around the title, which we won't touch upon here because it's quite spoilery. However, likely within the next couple of days, I'll be recording the review discussion with a good friend, Fid McAwesome. He's a huge Silent Hill fan, so it'd be good for us to sort of get a bit deeper into it. As yourself, you kind of drifted away from it. I just kind of didn't really do it for you. But did you, before we transition to the games that you've been playing, is there anything, any questions, any specifics?
Not really. I mean, it's a game that has been spoken about for the last, 20 odd years.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm glad that you saw it through. Mm. It's a little disheartening to know that it goes for that long.
Yeah, it came out to about 20-ish hours, I think.
I wanted it to be like a shorter, tighter. I assumed that it was going to be a shorter, tighter experience. But yeah, I found it very much. It was more. It's how am I trying to describe?
However, the length of it does tie in with the theory that the pictures do describe.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it does kind of make sense.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was just more of the reason why I fell off it so much was it was more of that atmospheric thriller horror.
Mm.
And I wanted a more action horror.
Mm.
I find myself getting very distracted by other things because I'm literally just walking around for a very long time between actually doing anything. Whereas playing, again, you know, it's hard to not draw these similarities. When playing Resident Evil, there's always something around every corner that I have to deal with before I can move on. Whereas Silent Hill makes you think there's always going to be something around the corner, but more often than not, there's not.
Yeah, very. Yeah, it has a lot more of a theme and like a foreboding sort of energy rather than there's literally zombies everywhere.
Yeah, which is fine, and that's what they're going for. But because I experienced one before the other, I have a feeling that has jaded my view a little bit.
Yeah, no, and I can certainly see how that would.
Don't get me wrong, I love a good walking sim.
Yeah.
But yeah, this just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah. No, I feel that. But yeah, I'll have more to say in an episode of More the Players, which will be exciting. Mute says in the chat, "Oh man, I wanted you to get the dog ending." Yeah, I have seen that one. I remember seeing it back in the day, like on YouTube or whatever. I've never actually finished. This is the first time I've finished the game myself, because I played a lot more Silent Hill 1 and 3 than I did 2 back in the day. But yeah, and there's also a UFO ending as well. It's a bunch of whole things that are certainly weird. But it is certainly a good game, and I did enjoy it. But Max, what have you been spending? Actually, no, we'll just jump into the chat itself. So Sean in the Twitch chat, because Max, did you finish Metaphor?
No, not yet. So I dove back into it pretty hard this week. I am now at the second of three tasks, essentially. So I've been tasked with now getting with reclaiming a holy relic, I am now ninth in the standing to become the new king.
Ninth?
Which was ninth, yeah. I think last time I was about 100th. So
that's a
I've been putting in. I've been putting in a lot of work. I am horrendously over-leveled for where I'm supposed to be. So I think I mentioned it before, the network features of this game is you can have a look at other people's party makeups. So what archetypes they were running, what level their archetypes were, and what level their characters were in the party at the time. The average level for the players around my area at the moment is 45. I have two level 99 characters and the rest are like mid to high 80s. So I'm about twice the level as anyone else there. So I'm kind of just... I haven't fought actual combat in ages because most of the enemies just die like just from the initial hit. So I just get my rewards and just keep going.
So as you are a notorious min-maxer, Max, do you, like, is this one of those moments where it kind of blows back in your face? Because like you haven't had a good fight.
Well, no, because I'm still, like, the bosses are compulsory. Like, I can't just smack a boss in the face and then be like, ah, it's too underleveled.
Mm.
I actually lost a boss fight last night. I had to restart, reset my game because I, like, fucked up. I went in with the wrong archetypes and everything was just weak to the boss. So the boss got, like, 12 turns in a row and just fucking shit stomped me. So even though I'm horrendously overleveled, like, I still have to play strategically or I will get fucked up, which is cool. I've met some new people. I have new party members. I've now maxed out three of my social links with like some of my followers. They have all got vastly interesting and intricate storylines that grow as you go through their social skill links and level up their stories type thing. One of them, when I got, so it's a maximum of 8 levels. I got him to level 7. And the character in question died. I'm like, oh, did I fuck up? Have I selected the wrong thing? I'm like, because the strongest archetypes in the game are connected to getting these people to level 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have I completely locked myself out of this archetype pathway now? It turns out I hadn't. But for like a good half an hour, I'm like, oh, shit, what have I done? I fucked up somewhere. This wasn't supposed to go down this way. And then it kind of all resolves nice and neatly. So I've been playing that for like the last, I want to say 3 or 4 nights. It's been really hard. I tend to not game until Ollie's in bed. And lately Hadley wants to game before she goes to bed. So I'm kind of playing with her. And then by the time she goes to bed, I go to work. So I haven't had a lot of time to like play my own stuff. And obviously I've been playing something that we can't talk about yet, but there will be a video up on Wednesday morning for
2 days. Well, we can talk about it. We can say that we're playing it. So that Max is alluding to LEGO Horizons Adventures. We've both been playing it, but said our review will be going up on Wednesday morning. Was it 9 a.m.?
I'm pretty sure it's 9 a.m.
Yeah, sometime in the morning on Wednesday.
I'll have to scroll back a lot in our chat.
Yeah, fuck that noise. That's way too deep.
Because I don't know where I saved the fucking... It's the one thing that I didn't save.
Well, if there's the files tab, you should be able to see the doc in there. But yeah, that'll be cool. We'll have a lot bit to talk about that. Metaphor, pretty dope. You're enjoying that, which makes sense. Other than that, I don't think I have been playing anything at all. Let me do my usual quick check of my app. What have I been playing? Come on. I know you're at 5% phone, but do what you got to do. Nope. One thing I did check out, though, and it was only for a little taste, just a little taste before I came in today. It was going to be Metro Awakening. We were provided a review code from the team at PlayOn Australia, but I believe they've given us a key for a different region. So I was like, hey, heads up. So hopefully that'll come in the morning. I'll be able to mess about in that. However, yeah, so before I came to the show today, I finally jumped into Blatro.
Oh, man.
Oh, that has the potential.
I'm on a sick fucking Blatro run at the moment. Not right now, but I was playing a game earlier while Ollie was asleep.
Yeah.
And I had to like quit out midway because he woke up, but I'm on a fucking sweet run at the moment.
Like, I don't know what the end goal is. Like, I feel like, you know, there's obviously clearly there's no story or anything like that. It's just kind of keep playing, playing, keep playing.
Well, you unlock new decks and new challenges and new, yeah. Like, assuming you win your hand, assuming you win your...
Yeah, and at least in the 10 or so hands that I've, you know, rounds that I've done already, like, I'm just starting to rip through some of them. And then once you suss out the combo, you know, how to multi things, and you're like, ooh, ooh. And what I do appreciate, though, as well, is, you know, you can count cards. There's the ability to count cards, which is cool if you're that smart. You also have the ability to sort of, you know, press the touchpad and it'll show you all the different poker hands. So for context, it's essentially a Fancy Pants game of poker where you use cards to build up points and then jokers for multis.
It's a roguelike poker game.
Yeah. When you have the ability to then have a look and, you know, see what all the poker hands are. Because that's always been the problem whenever I've tried to play poker is I forget what is what. You know what I mean? Craig, the Mullet Show in the chat says, you have my attention. If you have any... I don't think he's on Petition Stars. If he does, then you could probably get it for fucking nothing because it's just points. But it is not all that expensive anyway. But no, it's quite good. I enjoyed it a lot. And I'm thinking about it right now. And when I'm finished here, I'm probably going to play a little bit more. Because like I do... Obviously, it is a rogue game or roguelike. But I just happen to have the, you know, and I do believe they do this on purpose, or at least for the first handful of rounds, because it is, I was having just winning runs. So, hey, here's a full, you know, here's a straight, here's a full house. You know, I'm like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. I've been pummeled by the RNG just yet. Wait and see. Mute in the chat does ask, Game of the Year contender. For me, it's too early to say. Max?
It's good, but not Game of the Year good.
Why so? How so?
Look, it's because it's such a simplistic concept, and it's, got, like you said, got no real story. It's one of those games that you pick up and play, that you are constantly playing, that it's like, hey, I've got 5 minutes, I'll quickly smash out some Balatro, but it's not something that you're like, I want to sit down and even, like, it's just one of those, I find that those pick up and play games never really Game of the Year.
Yeah. I think it depends on the metrics at which you would establish a Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Where for me, a Game of the Year, it has to be a game that makes me feel something.
Mm.
I have to, like, enjoy the story and the gameplay has to be good. Obviously, visuals are important, but a game like Balatro, which the visuals are kind of not the best, but they are unique and they are endearing in their own way. So, you know, as an example, Blanchard would have no...
The game was designed by one person, so... Yeah, like, it's good.
Yeah, because it kind of looks and feels like...
And its coding's a fucking hot mess of a bunch of fucking if statements.
Oh, yeah, especially with the variables in this game would be stupid.
Gross. It looks gross.
If this was a spreadsheet, I'd want to die. And I love spreadsheets. So I probably wouldn't put it there, but I'm not saying I'm too early days, but I mean in terms of the criteria which I would consider a Game of the Year, it's probably not there. I don't even know what mine would be at the moment. Well, we're only like a month out from our Game of the Year chat, so probably should start collating my thoughts, huh?
I've got my three ready to go.
Oh!
I don't think there's anything coming out between now and the end of the year that I'm going to play that's going to change that.
No, the last major release I from memory would have been LEGO Horizon. I do want to fucking Call of Duty though.
There's stuff in December that like is going to tickle my fancy, I think. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's going to be... Yeah, mine's pretty locked. Like, because December we've got...
Croc.
No, Croc can get fucked. We've got Fantasian.
What's that?
It's from the Final Fantasy guys that's in the, like, the diorama picturesque.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That'll be cool. Marvel's Rivals, if it doesn't get delayed after half their staff got done for money laundering.
Oh, I've touched upon that today. That's interesting.
There's Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 1 and 2 remasters are obviously dropping then.
That'll be good, but probably not Game of the Year.
Fairy Tail 2 is dropping there, but it's not going to be Game of the Year, but I'm going to enjoy it.
Oh, Dragon Quest this week, says Mute.
There's a few. Yeah, I've never really been a Dragon Quest guy though, so that's not really
No.
up my alley. There's Infinite Nikki, that dress up JRPG. Maybe that'll
Oh, yeah. I might
that
sneak in.
free to play dress up game. Who knows? Yeah, I
Mute, yeah,
know
sorry,
you.
Mute jumps in goes, really, you're the RPG guy. Well, you're the JRPG guy, really.
Yeah, Dragon Quest never really. I don't think I've ever played a Dragon Quest game.
I think with the high numbers, very similar to Final Fantasy. I'm like, eh.
Yeah,
Like, I know they aren't a shared, like, Final Fantasy's not a shared narrative, and I don't think Dragon Quest is, but I also know that Dragon Quest has a lot of lineage and importance in other spaces, but
I'm sure I would enjoy them if I had played them, but I had always just gravitated towards the Final Fantasy games.
yeah, very similar to like the Tales games. Like, they're just not built for me. That's not my kind of
Kettle
game.
of fish.
Yeah. And I try. I'm open to it sometimes. Like, Metaphor, I'm still open to, but
You enjoyed Nier.
yeah, Nier was okay.
You played Nier Automata. That
Yeah, I
was.
quite enjoyed. I didn't go super far in it, but what I liked about Nier was it shuffled between genres. And I thought that was a really cool way to get around those JRPG tropes.
Everyone
And
loves good bullet hell.
yeah. And Persona 5 at least, and 4, like, they have quite a unique charm and delivery that they stand out from common JRPGs. So, like, growing up, I played a lot of Breath of Fire 4, as well as one I spent a lot of time with.
Well, the thing is, you're not a huge like high fantasy guy.
No, I'm not. Because fantasy bores me really quickly. Because how many different times can you tell the same story about a guy with a sword?
Yeah. Well, at
Like, it
least
just
15
doesn't.
times in Final Fantasy. So, like, I don't
Yeah,
know.
and like I, yeah, high fantasy. Yeah, it's tough for me, which is why I know that Metaphor may not be the bestest for me, but I even Persona. I'm like, it's because, excuse me,
Well, I sent you a pretty.
all the high school stuff of
Well,
JRPGs fuck me off.
I sent you a pretty cool curated list today of games that could possibly.
You sent me like the woke game list.
What was it? The Woke Content Detector's curated list of games
See, the fact
where
that
I
it's on
found.
that list makes me want to play whatever it is more.
Which I found very. Because obviously, I put this in our chat this morning. So, number three on their list is Baldur's Gate
Yeah,
3.
game's gay as shit.
With a rating of not recommended because it contains overly pro LGBTQ messaging, non-binary other options available for identity in the character creation menu, uses body type instead of male and female, and optional homosexual romance. To which I responded, I didn't realize that romance was optional.
Notice how apparently bestiality is not woke because you can bang that bear.
Oh, you can bang that bear.
Well, it depends. By the sounds of it, this piece of shit that collated this list, cause apart from having nothing better to do and clearly no major purpose in their life, like, it sounds like their major issue would be if the bear was a guy and you were a guy, but like, if the bear was female and you were a male, go to town, I assume. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, once again, for a place of freedoms, there's a lot of fuck your freedoms, just me, just my freedoms. Dumb cunts, a lot of them. Except the ones that are really cool. But just most of the dumb people. Most people that would make that. So I realized I made a statement about Americans in general, and then I have a lot of American friends that are cool, and some are in this chat. But I mean, like, probably those, like, super dinguses that would make that fucking list. Fuck them. Fuck them. I don't think I played anything else. Did you play anything else?
No.
Sweet. Let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Cool. A new promise from Sony, everybody.
Oh, fucking straight into it, Max.
Let's straight into it. Let's not fuck around. Sony has shocked PlayStation 5 fans earlier this year when it said that there'll be no major first-party games in 2024.
I genuinely forgot that that was a discussion.
The quote was a little misinterpreted as it still released a Game of the Year candidate in Astrobot, among other games. Either way, that won't be the case moving forward. Speaking with investors as part of Sony's latest financial report, Hiroki Totoki has promised it'll have, quote, major single-player game titles every year from next fiscal year onwards, end quote. The company's next fiscal year does get underway from the 1st of April 2025. obviously we know Ghost of Yotai is slated for next year. And as we understand it, the Sony is also still publishing Death Stranding 2 on the beach. Meanwhile, other first-party teams like Santa Monica Studios, Guerrilla Games, Bluepoint, Housemarque, and Naughty Dog all have unannounced projects in the works.
Well, you sure fucking hope so.
Yeah. Do we want at least one major title a year?
Yeah. I reckon you could get away with two. Like, granted, we won't because the production time is just too stupid.
I feel like they have enough. I feel like they have enough teams that they should be able to pump out one fucking major game.
Yeah, at least one.
I remember when Insomniac dropped like three.
Yeah, that was that was kind of insane
when PS5 first launched.
Yeah, they did Ratchet, Spoods.
And I guess Spoods 2, all in within a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, because, on launch of the PS5, it was Miles, and then Ratchet was about six months later.
Yeah.
Fuck, what was the other thing they did? I don't remember.
They did stuff.
Maybe more Spoods, because it's kind of all they've really done. But, yeah, look, it makes sense. We took that statement quite literally at the time, and I think we're both also like, that's kind of fucking dumb. Like, why would you say that? But then they proceeded to back it up. Actually, no. And then the time, I remember, we questioned a bit, like, but isn't like Lego Horizons coming at some point? And that rumored remake, which totally did happen. We, at the time, we thought they may have been the same thing. We were wrong. Two separate Horizon products for reasons. But Death Stranding will certainly be coming out. Hang on, did you put that in the news this week? In the quick
bits? It's in the quick bits, that
Kojima. Well, let's touch upon it now. By extension, so Kojima Productions now has full ownership over Death Stranding as an IP, which allowed them to release it on Xbox this week. Same, and it's literally the day it came out 5 years ago.
Five years to the day, yeah. So I wonder if it was just a five-year exclusivity deal.
Yeah, well, I think it's an interesting point, because I was wondering that too.
That was fine to be on PC, Apple phones, and...
So...
Because it's now on like fucking, what is it, Amazon Luma or whatever the fuck their thingo streaming game service thing is.
So, excuse me. I listened to another podcast this week, as I do. And they were discussing this as well. And they brought up the point of, with someone like Kojima, who is, you know, an auteur, you kind of do what you need to do to please them. And I imagine, and they were sort of the idea of, it's very likely that part of that initial agreement would be that, yeah, you know, 5 years is fine. You know, we'll get, you know, they'll have initial publishing on whether it be Death Stranding, Death Stranding 2, or their other upcoming game. Was it Pheasant? Mm. However, you know, after a time, you know, he's an independent studio. He's not, you know, Kojima isn't part of PlayStation First Party, PlayStation Studios. So that's fine. And with 505 being the publisher of both the PC version and the Xbox version, it makes sense why they're able to do PC earlier, because I don't think... This was prior to Sony's really focus into PC as a secondary platform. So they went, yeah, 505, you can go do it. Now, in hindsight, I imagine they'd be like, well, wish we did that.
I think they also realize that, like Metal Gear Solid, the IP is literally nothing without Kojima.
Correct. Yeah. So if they owned it, it wouldn't matter, because if Kojima's not going to make it, then it's nothing. And what it does, it appeases him. It keeps him happy. You know, I think he even addressed it in his little documentary on Disney Plus, that, you know, he sees the Sony offices from his building. Like, he has a great rapport and relationship with them, going back to Metal Gear Solid in 1995 or 6, whatever it was. No, 97, I think it was. So that in of itself makes sense. This is just, you know, and as Sean mentions, it's a good idea to let everyone play it. Absolutely, because it's a game that you have to experience to understand it. If you haven't played it, you won't get it. The idea of, like, oh, it's a walking simulator, like, literally, but its story is compelling, and those times that you are just wandering through this land, you take all this in, and you kind of get and sit and ponder with your thoughts, and you're kind of lost in the world.
Best fucking soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so good. Oh, fuck, I'm playing again now. And Mute goes, he was on Disney Plus. Yeah, he did a little documentary. It was on Disney Plus here in Australia. I don't know who distributed it externally.
Probably Hulu.
Oh, I think it was Hulu. Yeah, I think it was Hulu.
Things that come to Disney Plus for us are Hulu everywhere else.
Yeah, because Disney's got a stake in Hulu. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's where that's where that sits. I think. Actually, I'll put that in the notes as well. Death Stranding. I didn't get a timestamp for it, so fuck that noise, I suppose. But yeah. All right, let's get into what is the name of this episode, Max? So the learning lessons. So Sony's decision to no, this is a different one, but we'll go with this.
This has got the Concord stuff built into it.
All right, sick. All right, so Sony's decision to mandate PSN account linking with its PC ports has caused friction with the fan base outside of its PlayStation ecosystem, but it's not backing down. Speaking as part of a financial call with investors, boss Hiroki Totoki said that the organization had, quote, learned a lot, end quote, from the situation but needs to keep players safe. It's a comment that's obviously going to invite immediate criticism. Quote, the PlayStation accounts that we have offered, well, actually, by offering them, for instance, sometimes that tends to invite pushback, he said via an interpreter. But for the live service games, in order to maintain order of the gaming so that anybody can enjoy the game safely, we need to create an environment conducive to that and, of course, enjoy the game freely, end quote. To be fair, Totoki was speaking about the failed first-person shooter Concord during that part of the call, so was focusing purely on the live service game specifically. But that also doesn't change the fact that the titles like Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered or God of War Ragnarok don't have any kind of online interaction, so it's clear Totoki is not being entirely transparent about Sony's objectives with using PSN account requirements. In reality, it wants to make PC users part of its ecosystem so it can track their playing habits and bolster its monthly active user statistics. Something that we had said, we had believed, and we had agreed. It's what makes sense. And from the protection standpoint within the multiplayer system, I can't fault that either. The only fault that I have is you make PSN in more countries. Fix that. That's the gap you fix. And yeah, anyone that bitches and whinges about having to make an account, they can shut the fuck up. It takes 2 seconds, but it needs to be available.
If you're going to move to using PC as a platform for your games, even if you don't sell consoles in those countries, you should still offer accounts in those countries to play those games on PCs.
Mm.
Especially if you want the metric data from it, there is no reason why they shouldn't have access to it.
Yeah.
All right. Growing pains. Sony has claimed it should have been performing internal tests of Concord earlier than it was to spot the mistakes that led to its disastrous launch. Speaking during a Q&A session as part of its latest Q2 financial earnings call, Sony President Hiroki Totoki said the firm is still going through a learning process in terms of live service development, and the gates it has in place should have happened sooner. The gates that Totoki is referring to relate to, quote, user testing and internal evaluation. With his full quote reading as per VGC, quote, currently we are still in the process of learning. Basically, with regards to new IP, of course, you don't know the results until you actually try it, end quote. So for us, for our reflection, we probably need to have a lot of gates, including user testing or internal evaluation, and the timing of such gates, and then we need to bring them forward. We should have done those gates much earlier than we did. Totoki then refers to Sony as a, quote, siloed organization, and suggests it perhaps needs to go beyond the boundaries of those organizations in terms of development and also sales. Concord did receive an open beta on PlayStation 5 and PC prior to its release, but just like the full release, its player numbers were poor. On PC, the pre-release test peaked at just 2,388 concurrent players. Earlier in the earnings call, Senior Vice President for Finance and IR at Sony, Sadahiko Hayakawa, compared the success of Helldivers 2 with its Concord failure, noting, quote, "We launched 2 live service games this year. Helldivers 2 was a huge hit, while Concord ended up being shut down. We gained a lot of experience and learned a lot from both," end quote. Hayakawa explained that learnings gained from the success and failure will be shared with Sony's internal development studios, quote, "so as to strengthen our development management system. We intend to build on an optimum title portfolio during the current mid-range plan period that combines single-player games, which are our strengths and which have a higher predictability of becoming hits due to our proven IP, with live service games that pursue upside while taking on a certain amount of risk upon its release. While internal evaluations and tests taking place sooner will have only helped the project, it's generally agreed upon that the problems facing Concord weren't down to the quality of its actual game, it was more to do with releasing into an incredibly crowded online market at a $40 price point.
That is just one of the many reasons why it didn't do well. The quality of the game in and of itself is and should be brought into question. If the learnings are, maybe the price point wasn't good, but the game was fine, then they are dumb. Like, that is not the takeaway.
Well, I think objectively the game itself was fine. It's just that the characters inside the game were bland and boring. The gameplay itself was fine as a shooter.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It was fine. Like, there was nothing about it that was unique. They tried to rely on their characters, whatever, to make it unique, but they were bland and boring. Therefore, the gameplay itself was bland and boring. I disagree. It played. It functioned. That is absolutely true. But I would argue and say that it did not play good.
It was very cookie cutter, but like, yeah.
Yeah. So the learnings out of here is, we shouldn't have charged $40. That is absolutely true. Entering in the games as service market, the $40 price point is rough. But once again, even when the game was free, no one played it. Like, so even if it was free, people picked it up and went, oh, this plays really well, actually. We should have seen more numbers. Just jump, the amount of times that an open beta is up, people are on Twitter and they go, oh, hey, you should probably go check this out. Suddenly, the floodgates open, people run in. That didn't happen because they played it and went, yeah, and they left. The price point is only one of the many problems. Now, the learnings of this, Max, my concern is... the learnings on this are, we should probably not fuck with games as a service, which is good because I don't believe that is Sony's skill set. However, the type of game that PlayStation are known for, which is that awesome, narrative-driven title that is beautifully made, it is exceptional looking, when they could turn them around quicker, that is when they're at their best. However, with games taking 5, 6, 7 years to get done, they cannot rely solely on that. So my fear is the learnings will be like, fuck, this is doubled down on what we know works, which would then cut out smaller titles, potentially like something like Astrobot may not come to fruition. Obviously, it would because it just jerks PlayStation off for how many hours you play it, which I quite like. But you see where I'm coming from?
I don't think that's the takeaway from this. I think their takeaway is that they need to do more testing in their live service games and make sure that they are doing either don't do your beta 2 weeks before release. Like, that's a big one.
Well, and also like, because it's not a beta, it's a fucking demo.
Unless you're fucking sure that it's going to sell gangbusters, you do not want to be testing your game 2 weeks prior to launch. Either don't hold internal reviews for it of playtesting internally. Hire a third party playtesting people to come in and objectively look at it as opposed to people who have a stake in it.
Well, to expand on that point, which and I do agree with you, in that from the reports that we have heard coming out of Concord in terms of the culture, etc., about the whole, we can't say bad shit about the game, once again, that's very difficult to prove. That is incredibly subjective compared to objective finance information. In these comments from Totoki, he's like, we should have done more internal testing. We should have done, put all these gates in. Then what the fuck did you do? Like, did you buy this studio and went, hey, just keep doing what you're doing? Then that is horrible business management. And then that in flow on effect from what we've discussed in previous weeks is, what is someone like Herman Holst doing in this circumstance? He is the CEO. He's, formerly head of Worldwide Studios. He, apparently, he was the one that was kind of spearheading this. in a lot of ways. So what were you doing? Were you purely drinking the Kool-Aid, or were you just like, yeah, man, just go do it? Like, because, you know, if you bought this studio and you bought them for this game, and you go, you should come in and step in.
Mm.
Otherwise, why bother buying them?
Either that, or they were delusional from the start and went, this is really good, let's buy them, we're going to make all the money from this, we've just got to let them do what they're doing, and it bit them in the ass.
But then where are those other external balance, you know, where are those checks and balances elsewhere, right? Is it that makes it sound like there's a bunch of yes men. Because are you telling me no one in PlayStation, any of their parties, any of their QA, anyone went, hey, this game's a little fucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends. Like,
we've seen it before with like Fallout 4 sort of getting stomped by The Witcher, you know, showing what a new RPG should be. Because Bethesda, we're in like a fucking bunker building that game. I still enjoyed it, but I can understand the reasoning. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So it's no New Vegas. I think the issue is... oh, fuck, I lost my train of thought now.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Yeah, thanks for that.
No worries.
Working
in isolation, not understanding...
What I was going to say is, like, if the rumors are true and they literally couldn't say anything bad about the game, I guess they are a bunch of yes men to a degree.
Yes.
Like, if it was just, like, just get it out. Because at the other end, they also sank however many millions into it, plus the purchasing cost of the studio, so they had to... And that's literally cost, like, they have now made zero money from Concord because they refunded everything.
They are in the negative, like, 500 million plus.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Before we jump into the next story.
I guess for yourself, Max, what, in terms of, this is the learnings from Concord directly, where, as I mentioned, my fear is that they will double down on what they know, which is good because I like those games. But do you think they will still try a games as a service path?
Yeah, I think so. I think the other issue is, like, Bungie stepped in with what could have been...
But even Bungie themselves are looking like a lemon these days.
But like, they stepped in and went to Naughty Dog with Faction and went, it's not going to work. Like, why weren't they there for this?
Correct. Why'd this go to market, but Last of Us Factions didn't?
Yeah. So.
And we know that there were a stack of games. There was like 16 announced. Many of them have been delayed. Weren't even announced, weren't even discussed. They weren't part of that count. And they too been scrapped.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the topic of online games, let's talk about Australia's planned social media ban.
Oh, woohoo.
Yeah. So, Australia's current Labor government, led by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, plans to impose strict rules on teenagers' use of social media. With broad support from the states and both major parties in agreement, the Online Safety Act could pass before the end of the year, likely being introduced in 2025. It would restrict teenagers under 16 from accessing online platforms like Facebook or X. But that's just for starters. Aussie teens will also be cut off from broader, ubiquitous platforms like YouTube, perhaps most devastating of all, the PlayStation Network, as well as Xbox Live. Now, all of this is obviously not great for Aussie teens who deserve access to the PlayStation Network and everything else that they already have access to. While the plan sounds draconian, international readers should know that the government in question is largely inept and has no idea how this proposal will actually be enforced.
It is true. The Labor Party is pretty fucking inept.
So, more information was posted ahead of the weekend outlining the government's broad definition of what, quote, social media services is as per the Online Safety Act. So, one, the sole or primary purpose of the service is to enable online social interaction between two or more end users. Two, the service allows end users to link to or interact with some or all of other end users. Three, the service allows end users to post material on the service. Albanese plan is to hold social media companies accountable, mandating that they, quote, should take responsible steps to block people under 16 from accessing them and imposing flaccid fines on offenders. The maximum fines are less than $1 million, which is pocket change for these massive corporations. What do you think?
My concern, and it kind of looks like what it's going to be, you have to essentially enter your ID into things. I'm not putting my fucking license. Like, it was bad enough my license got pinged by and blown out by fucking Optus. I'm not giving Twitter my ID. You shitting me?
I mean, well, the issue is they're only going to be able to do this on new accounts. They're not going to be able to do this on pre-existing accounts.
Yeah, retroactive would be a bit dick.
So it's really not going to affect us.
Like, no, I'm not, but, that, gonna, but I'm that's the thing.
To, I'm not going to have to scan my passport to get on Facebook and like send dickhead messages.
Yeah, but that's the exact same attitude of why we have fucking climate change, Max. Like, it's like, it doesn't affect me. Fuck, who cares? The precedent that this would establish is kind of insane.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because their whole thing
there's
is...
There's no way to monitor it, yeah.
Their whole... Facebook's going to have, are you over 18? And you're going to click yes or no, and you're just going to go, fucking yes.
Well, how do you think people have looked at boobies for the last 25 years? Minimum. Are you 18? Yes, boobs.
Because, you know, because to be fair, in all the terms of service to all those social media platforms, you have to be a certain age
13.
Anyway.
13 is the age.
So,
PSN's 13?
Yeah.
Like, 16's fucking stupid. Like, 13, all right, sure. It's kind of in line with everything else anyway. But even then, I'm pretty sure Facebook has 13 as their minimum age.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, Elbo, you wang? It sucks because I voted for this dick. And, like, because I bullet in the Labour Party is where I sit, you know, but... Okay,
we all voted for the lesser of two evils last night.
Yeah, true, true.
It is the problem with the two-party politics that a lot of places have.
Yeah, and the difference here is we vote based on party, not on individual. So, like, in the US, people voted for Trump. They voted for, you know, Harris. We're here, we vote for the party. And the leader is whoever the party chooses, and you can't do much about it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because, like...
Which is why we had, like, 13 prime ministers in, like, 2 years.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was pretty fun. But this is so un-fucking important. Why the focus on this?
Because I believe that there's been an uptick in online and cyberbullying that has led to an increase in teen suicide in Australia.
Yeah, I understand that.
So their theory is if people under the age of 16 aren't getting on social media, they aren't seeing all this bullshit that is driving themselves to take their own lives.
Hi.
They're going to solve that problem.
Someone's going to address Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. How you doing?
He is a big fan of the show.
Ryan Betson, hang on. I know you've watched. Just a couple things. One, I really like the idea. I understand where you're coming from in terms of protecting kids. However, kids are cunts. And if kids can be mean on the internet, they will find ways to be mean anywhere. So if they really, really want to make a kid kill themselves, they'll do the absolute best they can to do it. However, means they seem fit. Is that okay? No. But like... You're attacking the in the chain of circumstance, you are in the wrong part, right? Like this, you know, social media cyberbullying is the result of something else. Why are you not focusing on that? Because all you're doing is moving that. You cut that part off and they're like, I'll just go punch the kid in the face directly, I suppose. You know what I mean? It's like go back a step and be like, can we just not be fucks to each other? And then, that's probably a bad idea. I was going to make a joke about allowing like capital punishment where you can just...
Elbo just wants
where
to get...
parents can do, like teachers warriors. Can just fucking smack and backhand dumb fucking kids.
Well, that's the other thing. Like at what point do you put the onus on parents for not letting their kids on social media?
Hi, the answer is all the fucking time.
Or at least not monitoring to some degree what they're doing.
The amount of... fucking garbo parents.
Oh, dude, if
ridiculous.
Hadley asked me if she can play Roblox one more fucking time, yeah. I swear. She's like, so last night, I'm going to take a quick tangent here. So last night, she was sitting at the PlayStation. She's like, hey, Dad, I want to play Paw Patrol tonight. I'm like, okay, that's fucking weird. You've been playing like epic games. I'll play this bullshit again. She's scrolling across the cross media bar and she's like, oh, Dad, can I play Minecraft? I'm like, no, you can't fucking play Minecraft. I'm like, not because I'm not allowing you to play Minecraft. You just don't have the capability to play Minecraft.
You're not there yet.
Like, you're not there yet. She's like, what about when I'm 5? I'm like, that's in like 3 weeks, mate.
James says that to me all the time. He's like, can I do it when I'm 8? I'm like, dude, that's in 2 weeks.
You're not going to be there in 3 weeks. And then I hear Ali from the kitchen. She's like, How does she know what Minecraft is? I'm like, because she watches fucking YouTube all the time.
Yeah.
And the people she watches on YouTube, I watch their videos to make sure that they're okay. Like, I don't let Hadley watch anything that I'm not okay with. They play Minecraft. They play Roblox, which I fucking hate, and she's not allowed to watch those videos. Mm. But Minecraft's fine. Roblox is just a hot mess of bullshit. But
well, I allow I allow James to watch my Roblox because there's some interesting, because there is some fun entertainment out of the, if the channel is appropriate. But I won't let him play it.
I think so for me, it's more of a, like, if she doesn't watch it, she doesn't, she's not like, I know what I'm missing out on. Yeah. Like, I could be having this fun in this safe spot. But Roblox is not safe anyway.
Yeah, I think it depends on the kid. Like, and I think with James as well, because James understands that there are some games that we'll say no to, but because we're so reasonably open in other ways, he's like, oh, Daddy, can I play Roblox? I'm like, nah, bud, you can't. All right, well, then can I play this other game? I'm like, sure. You know, because we have access to so many games, we're like, yeah, you can play Hello Neighbor.
Like, he's like, can I play Leisure Suit Larry? Sure.
I'd be like, probably not. Mostly because he similar to Hadley. I don't think he's gonna understand a point and click game. But you know, and then yeah, and then by shaping him in such a way that he thinks about the games that he plays and what they mean and how it works and thinking about it a little differently. You know, and then get, you know, like yourself with Astrobot and, you know, Lego Horizons, be like supporting them with games and co-op games to sort of like shepherd them away. Because kids are kids. If you say no, they're going to find a way to do it. But if you go, no, but we can do this instead.
It's funny you brought up Astro. She got so mad this week at the new speedrun level.
I got a little mad at it this afternoon.
Because she cannot rescue one of the bots on her.
The second one's the red one's a rough run.
She's having a rough time with it.
Yeah, because I ended up getting like 32 seconds.
Yeah, I got a notification saying Ryan has beaten you. Take back your score. I've only done this once.
Yeah, because I did it once and then I only got the blue, which is Heavenly Sword, by the way. That was a cool little reference.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, by the time I got there, the red bird had already been chilling. I was like, how the flying fuck? So, like, shout out to my good friend Steven, who I know through socials, and we finally met in Perth over at the Wrestling for 2K. He put up a speed run of his, like, 28-second run or something. I was like, oh, I'm just going to straight copy what he did.
But, yeah, you just got to bounce off the clouds that are fucking blowing you in midair.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
But, yeah, no, it's tough. Yeah, so the answer is be better parents. And, like, this is an example, and like you like, this is what was highlighted again to me by my partner, because while I was working wrestling this weekend, James, Phoebe, and my dad went to a different bounce in Melbourne, and it's a bigger warehouse, had like a big foam pit, crazy stuff. And it's one of the observations that we always spot when we go to these things anyway, is that the amount of parents that just go, fuck off, and throw their kid into the room, and then let them go. And then sit at the cafe, or sit on their phone, and whatever. And I get it. Having kids is exhausting. But where are we? I'm on those trampolines with him. You're on the trampoline with Hadley. Like, we are engaged. The thing on the weekend, like, Phoebe and my dad were, like, the only parents. Dad was certainly the only grandparent that was actively with the child in that space. So, like, how are they expecting to know what their kids are doing if they're not there? So, like, it makes you wonder how unsupervised are they with the things like the internet and their phones and the tablets and whatever, you know? And then they're probably the ones, their kid do something fucking dumb and they go and yell at the teacher.
Yep.
Like, no, you be a better fucking parent. Not you, Max. You're fantastic.
I'm all right.
I've seen you with your kids. You're great.
I'm all right.
Just all right. All right. That's the, you know, here I am giving you your flowers, giving you the awards for being a good dad. But let's get into, as we discussed earlier in the show, it's starting to get game of the year award season. So the Golden Joysticks. So the Future Publishing hosts the annual Golden Joystick Awards, and each year nominations are open to the unwashed masses. And commonly, the average person sucks. While it may lack the pomp and circumstance and gravitas of Jeff Keighley's The Wank Fest, Future Show is decided by entirely by public vote, and a record number of votes were cast, about over 11 million this year.
They're the missing votes from the US election. They all went to the Golden Joystick Award.
Oh, good throwback. That was well done. Polls opened at the start of October, and a shortlist has been determined, which should dispel any lingering sentiment that 2024 was a weak year for games. Another round of voting has already begun, and this will be ending on... It may have already ended. Or is it ending this coming Friday?
I think it ends this Friday.
Ending this coming Friday. To determine the ultimate game of the year winner. And here is the list of potential games. First one, Satisfactory. Satisfactory. Never heard of it. Astrobot? Yeah.
Satisfactory would be right up your fucking alley.
Oh, really? What is it?
Yeah. It's like... picture Minecraft, but instead of like blocks and voxel bullshit, it's just like just way more in-depth and futuristic.
Okay.
You literally build factories to make shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
So like, Minecraft like meets Meccano, says Craig. Oh, yeah. Shit.
It'd be right up your alley. Shit. It's a PC game as well. It'd be right up your alley.
It's dangerous. I might have a look at that after this as well. Astrobot, as it should be.
Right up your alley.
Yep. Astrobot, big fan. Big fan. Our tariffs include... Our tariffs is part of the factory game. Oh, fuck yes, Mute. Thank you. Oh, sorry. We had a big pre-show bullshit.
Amazon factory. You'll get minimum wage and no break.
Yeah, and we'll have it, all the staff will be in cages. But we're not allowed to call them cages. They shall be reported as interwoven metal structures.
Freedom boxes.
Or freedom... Silent Hill 2 Remake made the list. Okay. Call of Duty Black Ops 6 made the list. Now, I genuinely want to play this campaign, by the way. Apparently
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking good.
I might just pay the $12, get Game Pass for a month, and then just mess with it on PC.
Just make a new account, pay the dollar. Because I think it's still running.
Sick. Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, Max?
Yep.
Should be in
it's
there.
Not on my, I don't think it's on my list anymore, but
no.
which is stunning, but yeah.
Dragon Age the Veilguard. I'm gonna call proximity bias on that one. I'm sure it's great, but like proximity really plays a role there. Metaphor ReFantazio, makes sense.
Deservedly so.
Animal Well.
Apparently this is amazing.
Yeah, that's the Donkey's game. Where he helped produce it or something. Yeah. Bellatro. Checks out. Tekken 8. I forgot it came out this year, but a game is also very good.
I think it did came out like January, didn't it?
Yeah, because I remember chatting with the rep at PAX last year.
Yes.
And being like, yo, like when's Eddie coming, man? When's Eddie? He's like, oh, calm your shit, all right? And then X amount of weeks later, they're like, hey, Eddie's season one. I'm like, yeah. Helldivers 2, that's a good one. I'm glad it's getting some love. It got a bit, the tail end was a bit poo, but for like those first couple months, Helldivers was a fucking bomb. And finally, Black Myth Wukong.
Which is getting a physical release here in Australia on the 12th of December.
Well, doesn't help this.
No, it doesn't at all.
Where do you think this is going? Putting your three, third, second, and first. And how you think the masses will vote.
Well, see, that's so hard because the masses are sometimes real dumb.
Yeah. See, once again, yeah, you know, if the average person is dumb as fuck, then there's at least half of the population, half of the everyone else remaining that's dumber than that person.
Because, like objectively, like the biggest game of this year was probably Helldivers 2 or Black Myth Wukong. Dragon Age from its metrics is not doing great.
Nope. And it's too divisive. It'll probably win just to like be divisive, but
I can't say Call of Duty winning game of the year. Like it just my guess is it would probably be somewhere between Astrobot, Final Fantasy in metaphor.
Yeah, so the if I was to be a betting man and put like a three on it, like a top three, I would say third would be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, second would be Astro Bot, and number one would likely be Metaphor ReFantasy.
I would love to see Black Myth pull it, like Elden Ring. Like, I would love to see Black Myth pull it, because...
Yeah, but I think the major buzz of that title was within Asia.
Yeah.
And I'm on the presumption that the entire world can vote. But yeah, in terms of like the larger conversation, I think they will be the three that will run. Yeah. Like, if you were to narrow it down to these are the three to take it.
Quick bits. Sony has shipped 65.5 million PlayStation 5 consoles.
How many, sorry?
65.5 million PlayStation 5 consoles.
Excluding pros, I assume?
That doesn't say. Just says PS5 consoles. Well,
there's been like 8 pros probably purchased since then.
They've sold 30 million distro. No, I don't know. Astrobot has sold 1.5 million copies in its 9 weeks since its launch.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not like I would have liked higher, but like it's a game that's going to have a long tail, I think.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then, yeah, as we've mentioned before, Kojima Productions has full ownership over the Death Stranding IP now.
Ha! Mute in the chat goes, I saw a person return a PS5 Pro today.
Here you go. I'll throw this in the quick bits. Macaulay Culkin has been confirmed of Amazon's Fallout show.
I like Macaulay Culkin.
I will mention that there's like 9 NetEase employees and executives that all got fucked for money laundering and bribery charges, who are all part of the Marvel's
Rumble. Yeah, expand on that for me, because I haven't read into it. You can better get it right now.
Okay, so 9 staff members from the Chinese conglomerate NetEase have been arrested on charges of money laundering and bribery. Those detained included 2 of the company's executives, the general manager, and the esports lead. Picked up by a Chinese language outlet, Lifeng, and reported by Bloomberg, NetEase Games, the studio behind Shooter Marvel Rivals and mobile spin-off Destiny Rising, released an internal memo announcing that 9 staff members had been dismissed and had been detained on anti-corruption charges. These exact specifics remain unknown, but the conspiracy is believed to be sprawling and expansive, connected to 28 entities that supply or work with NetEase. The case is estimated to be worth 107.5 million euros, or $139.3 million US.
How they funneled that much money? That is ridiculous.
Because NetEase owns like everything.
So yeah, but how would you not notice that?
Their paper trail from like tons of little things coming from hundreds of things probably just slips under the radar.
That's true. You know, speaking of like NetEase, you know, we haven't heard about in a little while. What's fucking, you know, what are they called? The guys out of the UK, the Europe's. They bought all the
Tencent?
No, they're Chinese as well. Yeah, you know, they bought all the things. They bought all the IPs, and then they just closed a bunch of studios.
The guys who own like everything.
Yeah, they're like Nordic and shit, and
yeah, THQ. That's Nordic. Embracer.
Embracer. Yeah, what the fuck are they doing these days? They're pretty chill and quiet.
Didn't they? Yeah, they bought Lord of the Rings and fucked that IP into the ground.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Pretty much.
That's what they've done.
Upcoming games, Max, you have a list for me?
I do not have a list.
What the fuck?
I'll pull one up. Yeah, I know. Oh, good. I was just on it. The fuck was it?
I love you. I'm like, what the fuck? As if I would do it, but I'm not. So even if you're like, I didn't do it, I'm like, okay, and we'll just keep going with the show. Like, I really don't care.
Here we go. November. Farming Simulator 25 comes out tomorrow.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was going to email today and I forgot.
Tetris Forever coming to PS5, PS4 also tomorrow. Songs of Silence coming November 13th on PS5. Dragon Quest 3 HD 2D Remake PS5 coming November 14th. Lego Horizon Adventures coming to PS5 November 14th. Flint Treasure of Oblivion coming to PS5 November 14th. Mind Cop coming to PS5 November 14th. That's it.
Yeah, I honestly stopped listening after Farming Simulator, to be honest.
Yeah, like,
yep, bang.
Fucking, you know what's coming out next week that I'm really keen for?
What it?
Microsoft Flight Simulator 24.
Oh,
that looks chef's kiss.
Oh, and of course, Lego Horizons. Did you mention that one?
Yep.
Oh, sweet. Cool.
It was right after Farming Simulator.
Yeah. Fuck that. I was thinking about Farming Simulator next month. Especially after like the fucking gore and depression that is Silent Hill 2 remake. The idea of just tending to some fields for a while kind of feels good.
Not going to dive into that slit ahead now that you've done.
Apparently the reviews are kind of bad. Like if it was like reviewed well, I'd be down for some slitties, but like...
Down for some slitties.
Or as Sacred Symbols refer to it, you know, the itty bitty slitty committee. Yeah, it's a good slur, that one. Anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you, everyone, for joining us. It is lovely to have you, as always. I like how it's a small show this week, and we still got an hour 15.
Yeah, that's what we do.
At least we started earlier this week, so.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Should be a Sunday recording this week.
One more bit. Tony Todd passed away, so they're going to have to revoice Venom.
Yeah.
In any upcoming Marvel Spider-Man stuff.
It sounds like, even though he has an incredible voice, I do feel like there's a lot of post-processing on him, so I imagine they could just fuck with it. In the same way that, like, once again, using South Park, I think I used South Park as an example already. Yeah, no, it was before the show.
You did for Trump.
You
did in that politics rant at the start of the show.
Yeah. So when Trey Parker does Cartman, like, he doesn't do the voice as much anymore. He kind of does the beginnings of it, and then they, in post-processing, they make it into Cartman. So I imagine they could do the same. Like, if someone can get close and then they just tweak it to get where it needs to be. You know who they'll get? Probably Troy Baker. He's pretty...
Here's another PSA for those of you who still haven't done this. If you have your original PSVR headset...
Oh, the camera dongaroo.
The camera dongaroo cannot be redeemed for free as of the 26th of November or while stocks last. Spoilers, they've got heaps of stock. No one bought the PSVR.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I've got somewhere.
You have 2 weeks to order the dongaroo for freezies. If you want to use your PSVR 1 on your PS5.
Yeah, I gotta find it. I think it's somewhere down there. I want the voice of Apu, Chief Wiggum, and Moa's Venom. Oh, Hank Azaria. That would be cool. He did it in the 90s Spidey cartoon. Oh, okay.
I mean, he has voiced everyone at one point or another.
Yeah, Hank Azaria is in a ridiculously good voice actor.
You know what? Just pony up Insomniac. Just get Bane to do it.
What?
I can't think of the gentleman's name. Yes. Just get Tom Hardy to do it. Fuck it.
Well, it's true. Just pull him from the movie, and then technically Insomniac and Sony Pictures are mixed.
Just put a Sony actor in a Marvel's game. Do
it. No. Fuck that. Get Topher Grace. Let's go Spider-Man 3 on this bitch. Get him to be back. He's the one from 70s Show that we like. Because the other people were not very good people.
Hey, there is a fair few good people on that 70s Show. There was, I think, one bad apple.
I don't know. Ashton Kutcher is...
I'm not sure one lied about their age to get on the show, but whatever.
He was pretty defensive of that guy's garbageness. Same goes for Mila Kunis.
Guy's garbageness.
Topher Grace is the answer. Hashtag Topher for Venom. Hashtag rest in peace.
Candyman.
I forgot that it was... Fuck me. All right. I forgot that he was Candyman. Because it's side chat again. Okay. Candyman was one of those movies growing up that scared the shit out of me. And then I watched it again a couple of years ago, back in the day when our good friend Kat did her show TGIF, which kind of got people to review horror movies that they loved. And because I'm not a really big horror movie fan, I went with one that scared the poo out of me to see if it aged well. It did not age well at all. My favorite part was there was a nurse who requested that they get 1,000 milliliters of something. So they just want to pump a liter in this person's blood. That'd be fucking intense.
I mean, every time I hear the Candyman, all I can think of is the Candyman can.
I didn't watch the remake, the remake sequel, the one by
El Candyman.
Key and Peele guys.
Michael Key.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Apparently it's good. I'll check it out one day, I suppose. Because I do quite, yeah, so I quite liked the original, but mostly because I liked making fun of it the second time around. It did take away all the fear of it, which was really good.
You know what I watched today that's also a banger? I watched all three Night at the Museum movies, and I wish there was another one. What? Me and Ollie just smashed out all the Night at the Museum
movies. You and Ollie. Ollie's won. You watched three Night at the Museum movies.
He sat there and did not move. He was engrossed in this film.
And you were in the same boat. You can't have to tell he's your kid.
It's great. Right. All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. We want you to record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you listen to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Sean in the chat says, P. Diddy for Venom? I don't think he's gonna be getting out of prison to film no movie or do voice acting. Mm-mm. And I think he's dealing with his own different kind of oozes and creams and oils. He's fine. He's busy being a dumpster person.